This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Rockets haven't lost since I've been gone.
No, the Rockets will never lose again, apparently.
Actually, if they're going to lose tonight. The Rockets don't have the best home record in the NBA. The Warriors don't have the best home record in the NBA.
The Raptors do.
I'd like to see them keep it going. At this point, it doesn't really matter. We know who's 1 and 2. It's just which
order. The difference in the 1 seed and the 2 seed is maybe 1 home game.
Both those teams are pretty good on the road as it is, so I don't know that game would matter that much.
Someone asked me today if could the Texans potentially go after Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman is the last guy who will go for the inmates running the prison type, yeah. Bob McNair stuff.
I think Richard Sherman would be number one on the list of no way from either guy.
That's the last thing I care about is, hey, football player, tell me your political leanings. Just kidding. I don't care. I want to watch you play football.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria. Hour number 3, 713-780-ESPN is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. You know where to find that. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a 0, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. And if you missed the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. But we've got great stuff to come because this place is packed with famous people. And we welcome in our SportsMap 94.1 listeners, so simulcasting on both stations now, just in time for Moochie Norris. What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Moochie, let me see your... I was disappointed when you walked in here. I got to be honest. I expected to see a fro out to your shoulders.
I got it in the bag. I cut it off, but I got it in the bag.
Man.
The hair's gone. It won't grow back, man.
It won't grow back?
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, get the other guys to cut theirs, man. The hairline's going. They're trying to hold on to it, man.
Oh, man. What do you think of LeBron's hairline? Do you think he should just be bald and be okay with it?
Yeah, I wish I'd have worn my shirt, man, because y'all brought that up. I got a shirt that say hairlines matter, man. It's just time to let it go and join the ball group.
I respect that.
I'm getting there.
You did have a nice do in the day, though, my man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a battle we all fight. I'm at the point now where I'm so close to just saying, all right, just screw it. But I got just enough left to not do it.
Yeah, exactly. When Van Gundy came, man, I had a hairline, man. And after about 2 weeks, it was gone, man. It started going in the cracks. So I said, it's time to cut it.
I was going to ask you about your collegiate career. I remember when I was in high school, you were at Auburn.
Uh-huh.
And then you weren't at Auburn. And this was like before I had full access to the internet. Now I remember that you went to West Florida.
Yeah.
Finished out there. Why'd you end up leaving Auburn, and what was behind that?
It's the unknown mystery, man. Some things happened that I, you know. I still never got the answers to.
Oh, they asked you to leave?
Basically, they were telling me that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to play, start the season. And then it was like, you're going to miss 5 games. You're going to miss a couple of more games. And before I knew it, I got to Christmas. And, you know, I was hearing that I probably wasn't going to get my year back, my eligibility. I was just going to lose my senior year. I would have been sitting on the sideline. So I got a call from Don Hogan, the coach down in West Florida at the time. And he schooled me on some stuff, and he told me, man, I think you can come here and play right away. Your name is on the draft board, I hear. So if you want to give it a shot, you can come down here and play right away for us. So
I mean, that's such a weird situation to be a guy who's an NBA prospect, and mm-hmm. you end up going when you're a high pick in the second round, and for some reason you're not on the floor at your college. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it really hurt me because they didn't have any answers for me. I went in front of the NCAA a couple of times and, you know, told them exactly what was going on, what I did in the summer, proof that I was in summer school and spent the time up in Kansas and everything. You know, I was there. It could be vouched for. It's on record. I mean, it's footage, it's everything. And I just don't know what happened. I still don't know what happened. I just got the letter right before the first game of the season. I was in the locker room warming up, and they gave me the letter and told me I was ineligible.
So you get to the NBA. You bounce around a lot of places there. In fact, you're one of the few remaining guys who was an actual Vancouver Grizzly. But at what point did it finally start happening for you? I mean, because kind of up and down for a while there, but then you had a pretty nice run there starting late 1990s basically with, you know, with the Sonics and then the Rockets and the Knicks. I mean, what was it for you that finally got you where you could stick in the league for a few years?
Just getting the opportunity, really. Rudy really gave me the opportunity. But really, when I got to Seattle, I was playing with Gary Payton, and I learned so much from him just in that time of the lockout year, you know, because the previous 2 years I was in Milwaukee and I went to Vancouver. So I had a little bit of playing experience. But Nate McMillan and Gary Payton took me under their wings and started talking to me about what it would take for me to stay in the league, because I was used to scoring a lot of points and making plays and just doing things out there. And they told me what it was going to take for me to be successful and be able to have a career in this league. So I had to, you know, change my role and become a full-time point guard.
Yeah, and you really seem to embrace it, especially with the Rockets. And, I mean, we're a leader on the floor and a fan favorite on top of that. People just loved you when you were here. And is that something that it took being around those guys to learn how to be that kind of player?
No, I mean, I've always been able to adjust, you know. But, you know, it's so much noise. Like, you know, once you get finished, you know, from that level of that college level, and then you go into this pro level, it's a whole nother animal. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. That's why I see so many fall, or so many you know, guys disappear that we think are going to be just these great guys at the next level. They struggle. But, you know, I just learned from the guys. I learned from the older guys. I just took a seat, got me a pen and a pad, and started learning from those guys and watching. And I just took in everything. You know, I was one of those guys, come early, stay late. Always picking the guy's brain, asking him, how can I be successful? What do I need to do? And those things just paid off for me in the long run.
One of the interesting things when you look at your resume is your last season in the league, you were on the New Orleans / Oklahoma City Hornets. Did you know when you guys started playing games in Oklahoma City, did you know that Oklahoma City was going to be a good NBA town?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was amazed. I was amazed. When we went there and played the first game, I couldn't believe the turnout. The people were going crazy there. But I thought about it, and I was like, it's a basketball place. Oklahoma's a basketball place. So they're with their Oklahoma teams. And I just figured if they could get a team there, it would be great, because they showed us so much love while we were there.
That, but you also played in Seattle, which I thought was a great city, too. I hated to see the Sonics leave.
I agree.
It does look like they're going to get an arena straightened out there. Do you think it'll be successful if they go back?
I think so. I think the people in Seattle miss it. They had, you know, those great teams back there with Gary Payton, Rain Man, and those guys. So I think they miss it. That was my, I like to say, my coming out party, because when I came from the CBA and that little stint, I got to Seattle, and they actually threw me in the game. They threw me in the game right away, and it was a big game against Portland. And we were losing in the fourth quarter, came in, hit about 4 or 5 threes, and we ended up winning the game. So,
Mr. Save the day.
Yeah, and that was it. That was it. After that, I was off and running.
What are you up to these days? What's new in your world?
Just coaching and training. That's all I've been doing.
What are you coaching, an AAU team?
Yeah, I'm coaching TJ's fourth, seventh grade youth team right now. His son is on that team, so I'm working with that team. He has a bunch of high quality young guys on that team. I've just been, you know, I've been at Victory Prep High School. I coached a year at 2 years at a middle school, Regis School of Sacred Heart, and I did 1 year with Westbury Christian, and I won a championship there. So it's been pretty good.
How hard is it when you're coaching, especially high school age athletes? How hard is it to keep, you know, the dirty side of basketball away from them?
It's actually easy. It's actually easy because it just brings back the purity of the game. You know, they're you know, clean surfaces to me, you know. So I get to kind of mold them into what I think they should be as basketball players. So I don't worry too much about that. I mean, it's nothing I would give them. You know, when they get older, then if they have questions about it, then I can pass that on. But try to stay away from those parts of the basketball part.
Have you, since you've been coaching, have you run into any LeVar Ball-type dads who are more involved than maybe they should be in their son's career?
Yeah, it's some dads out there. I think he's the first one to actually be as vocal, and he's been given the stage
Because his kid was actually really good.
Yeah, I just think what happens with a lot of these other kids is that, you know, they get shut down.
Right.
You know, the program shut them down. I think he's just been able to do so. No one has, because his son is so good, I think that's why he's been able to get away with it. But his son needs to shut him down, if anything. I think it's just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah.
But when I look at him, he's like a Dennis Rodman as a dad, you know, somebody that, you know, is taking advantage of the limelight.
Did you get a chance to read Stevie Francis's article in the, not the Athletic, the Players Tribune? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He told me he was about to do it. He told me it was about to be released when we talked about it before it actually came out. He told me you'll be proud of me and everything. And, you know, I said I'll wait. And I woke up this morning and I read it with a clear mind and everything. And it just kind of broke me down, you know, brought tears to my eyes because it brought so much to the surface for me because I'm a D.C. guy myself. And, as well, I went through some things like that. And both of our moms died when we were at a young age in high school and things like that. So just being able to relate to everything that he went through and where he's at right now in his life is it's great. I'm just glad that I'm a part of it. You know, he's like a little brother to me. So it means the world to me that he's able to express what's going on with him and be a piece of glass, be see-through, you know.
What do you think of this Rockets team? Are they are they legit? Do they have a chance to beat the Warriors?
I can't say enough about them. I mean, it's like if Capella, Paul, and Harden is playing right now, they only lost one game.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm saying if they play, they may not lose another game just to get to the postseason. But what I'm watching right now is some guys that are not worrying about how many games they win in a row and this, that, and the other. They're worried about playing right, and they're worried about peaking at the right time. And I think that's what a great job coach is doing with them. He's trying to get them focused for what's next and what's down the road. I know they do want that home court advantage, though.
Are you a fan of the new trend of star players taking less money to go play with each other and basically building their own championship rosters? Are you a fan of that?
I mean, it's what it takes. I mean, it's what people are doing. I don't complain about it too much. When I look back at some of the older teams like the Pistons, the Lakers, the Celtics, they had Hall of Famer players. I mean, they wasn't put together like that, and guys wasn't moving around to be on certain teams. But it just reminds me of that, teams that had that amount of talent on one team at one time. So they were always going to be in the
right
hunt, you know. So I just feel like guys are, you know, it's not just about the money no more. They want to walk away with rings.
Legacy.
Yeah, because I think when you
because now the money's good for everybody.
Everybody.
So, you know, there's nobody hurting. So, you know, if you take a little bit less than the – and these guys have shoe contracts and everything else that makes up the money that they might lose. But if you become a champion, you know, that lasts a lot longer than money even for some of these guys. Or it goes nicely with the money.
Absolutely. All you have to do is sit and watch some TNT and listen to Charles Barkley, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller, you know, the guys that play, Patrick Ewing, all these great guys that don't have rings. Like, that's what's so, you know, I think that's the most painful part of their whole careers is that they don't have rings, because you just figure John Stockton, the mailman, would have won one.
Yeah.
You know, and because those are one of my great tandems, and I just couldn't get it. But they ran into 23 a couple of times and, you know, they dashed their dreams. But yes, I think more guys are more likely to be chasing a ring than just the money. Like you said, the money's good all around now.
Plus, isn't it kind of cool to see the players actually be in charge of this as opposed to a team who could, you know, they could trade for guys and they could sign guys. But, I mean, it kind of shifts the power to the players who are the ones that are putting these teams together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, like I said, I guess I really don't have a problem with it because I remember a Portland team that had 10 starters. They had Greg Anthony's. They had Stacey Augmon, J.R. Ryder, Damon Stoudemire, Steve Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, Sabonis. Yeah. I mean, that was a great team, and they didn't win.
Nope, got
they
close.
They didn't win. So,
got real close.
You know, and I heard you talking about it earlier about a coach has to figure out how to make all that work. And even if he does, the players might not be able to make it work. And I think it just takes a family environment. It just takes something special for you to actually win. So no matter who's on your team, because Jordan probably had one of the lesser talented teams to win a championship.
Well, one thing I will give credit to the Warriors for is before Kevin Durant came around, mm-hmm. when they won their first championship, you know, it was Harrison Barnes, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, all guys who got drafted by the Warriors. The Warriors built that team through the draft like an old school way.
Mm-hmm.
So that at some point, and a lot of those guys, like, no one was drafting Draymond Green. Draymond Green went way later than anybody thought, you know, than anybody would have expected. Klay Thompson wasn't a super high pick. You know, Steph even fell a little bit.
Yeah.
And they saw these guys. They said, we can put this together and make it work. I give them some credit for that. And if they want to go out and add one free agent and he just happens to be Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't hate on him for that because that's the game these days. You got to add stars.
You build the best team possible. It's not against the rules, so you build the best team possible. Yeah. And I think they knew that they were going to need one more piece if they had to run into LeBron James again. So they did the right thing.
All right, that's Moochie Norris. Moochie, we appreciate you spending a little time with us and wish you the best of luck with your continued coaching career. And stay out of radio, man. I think you'd be too much competition for us. You're pretty good at this, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. We're going to take a break. We come back. We get non-sports. We got a gym of the day we haven't done yet. We got to get that out there. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria. Fairly packed bar here.
So. Oh, yes.
Well, David Gow's
looking up.
Yeah, David Gow's here, that's why.
Yeah. Everybody's here to kiss the ring.
Yeah, well, except for us.
No, not because.
Okay, so a lot happened.
We're like on his level.
Well,
we're like his equals, right?
We do okay for the company.
Yeah, that's what I mean, basically.
Yeah, we do okay.
That's what I mean.
I think if there were power rankings within Gal Media,
we're strong.
We're up there.
We're like Villanova and Xavier.
Yeah,
he's Virginia. Virginia.
Yeah, well.
And then we're, you know, we're like right below.
He's Harvard. Exactly. But, I think we're, you know, if we did power rankings, I you know, team-wise, we're one or two.
Yeah. I'm feeling good about it.
Brown shipped Deshaun Kizer to the Packers, apparently, while we're talking to RJ.
Well, bye.
Exactly.
But that said, dude, Brett Hundley was so bad at football last year. They had to have some kind of a backup quarterback. I don't.
So was Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah, Deshaun. Dude, I said all along, why isn't Matt Barkley getting a chance to play? What
you mean Cody Kessler?
Yeah, Cody Kessler, not Matt Barkley.
You're confusing your mediocre USC quarterback.
Cody Kessler better than Matt Barkley, though, right?
As a pro, yeah.
Cody Kessler, like, every time he's been
in. Matt Barkley was pretty good in college.
He was good. Cody Kessler in the pros, though, every time he's been in, he's looked pretty decent.
He's looked like an average backup.
But the Browns won't give him a chance. They're like, oh, let's just give Brock Osweiler a lot of money instead. Let's draft Deshaun Kizer. I mean, Deshaun Kizer was horrible.
So your Cleveland depth chart now, Tyrod Taylor, Cody Kessler, Kevin Hogan.
I mean, it's better than last year.
Yeah, well, and again, I think I kind of thinking RJ's spending too much time with Stephen A. Smith and these hot takes guys because – you know,
you think he's turned into FS1, RJ?
A little bit, yeah, because he's totally not paying any attention to what we're saying and just coming up with other takes because that's not what I asked him. I mean, I asked what I thought was a pretty good question. With this starting quarterback group, what's the over-under for the Browns and wins this year? Is it higher than it would have been last year? And then he went off on some weird thing.
On a tangent, you're saying. He went off on.
Yeah, so he's kind of turning into hot take, RJ.
Yeah, not my thing.
But, you know, hey. We're happy to have him. I'll let him hot take. So, wow, ESPN Stats and Info just tweeted this out. If DeShone Kizer is indeed traded, all four quarterbacks drafted in the first two rounds by the Browns since 2000 will have been waived or traded within 3 years of being selected.
God.
Your quarterbacks, 2007, Brady Quinn. That seems like yesterday. That's been 11 years now. 2012, he was 3-9 as a starter.
Okay.
Brandon Whedon, 2012, 5-15 as a starter. 2014, Sir Jonathan of football.
My goodness.
2-6 as a starter.
And then DeShone Kizer.
0-15.
Brady Quinn is the best quarterback they've taken in the first round.
Well, let's see. I'm not good at math, but I think, I think his
He's the best.
Actually, I think it's all the exact same.
It's all trash.
Well, it's all exactly the same percentage-wise.
Well, no, DeShone Kizer definitely has
not Kizer. No, I'm talking about Manziel, Whedon, Quinn.
Oh, okay.
The 22s, as we call them.
Yeah.
All the same, just different number of games. DeShone Kizer went 15. He's
the champion of bad.
He is not in the conversation at all.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we've been talking about machines taking over the world for quite some time now, that eventually sex robots will replace wives.
Yes.
Eventually.
Imagine if you get a sex robot who could mow your lawn. Wouldn't that be awesome?
What if she could cook?
Like, that's when it's going to really be a breakthrough, is when the sex robot can do more than just have sex.
Right. They
so
can cook, mow your lawn.
Cut the grass. Just do generic household chores.
Do your laundry.
Great idea. Oh, we messed the sheets, sex robot. I'm going to need you to clean those sheets.
I will do so. Yeah.
I don't want the robots to talk like that, though. It can't be like Rosie from the Jetsons.
I'm okay with that.
You would be okay with that?
Yeah. I think it's kind of sexy.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a weird.
Yeah. I'm not so weird that I would have my sex robot on FaceTime 24/7. I think that would be weird.
What's your battery level, baby?
I still have 4 hours.
You did not plug me in before leaving for work.
I am running out of juice. Could you please put more?
Boy.
No.
Oh,
stop.
Boy.
Well, here's something else. And again, one day they'll put all these things together and Skynet will take over and we'll all die. They have created a machine that can solve a Rubik's Cube in less than half a second.
Oh, no.
0.38 seconds this thing can do it. And, you know, that's basically one word and that thing does it.
Yeah.
Just like,
how does that make you feel as a human?
Inferior? Well, I cannot do a Rubik's Cube. You probably for a couple hours I could get it done, but not in 0.38 seconds, no.
Yeah. The problem is,
but
these engineers are creating robots that are smarter than us.
Yes.
We're going to lose that battle. Look, I've seen movies.
Oh, we know how this ends. It ends with John Connor having to lead the revolution.
Like, if I were like a robot designer, my robot would occasionally, like, you'd ask him to go through the times tables, and when he got to 6 times 8, he'd be like 52. You're like, got your robot. Because you want to be smarter than the robot you build.
Well, at least have a back door that you can that the robot doesn't know about, that you can cut the robot off.
But usually, in the movies, the robot always figures that out, and he outsmarts you.
That's because he's smarter than you.
It's dumb, man.
That's the problem.
Getting too big for our britches.
Yeah, do I feel insignificant because of this? No. Because I'm sure there's some things I can do that this robot can't, like speak. And this robot just goes, it's like he's a glorified screwdriver is what he is. So he goes and he makes it in less than a second. Ooh, big deal. Congratulations. You can make a Rubik's Cube in 0.38 seconds. Can you masturbate? Probably not.
Nah.
So I'm not threatened yet. Now, there are things that would be threatening. but not that. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, can he get you really good deals on energy? That's what I want to know.
No.
Okay, but who can?
Triangle Energy, they're the only ones. There's a lot of companies out there, and they always offer the great deals. And you probably see those deals and go, man, that's a great deal. But guess what? They're pulling the proverbial wool over your eyes is what they're doing. They're going to tell you, oh, we'll give you free weekends. We'll give you free nights. We're going to give you a cash bonus. And then a couple months later, turns out that rate you signed up for, that's not what you're paying now. They changed it, and they hit you with the fees. And you know how I feel about fees, Fred. I'm done with fees. Triangle Energy, they're not hitting you with those extra fees. Guys, if you fell for one of those offers, and months later you find out you're paying a higher rate, you don't have to. Triangle keeps it simple. The rate you see, it's the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. Just good, honest business. That's what you get from Triangle Energy. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or check them out at TriangleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get an additional discount. That's TriangleEnergy.com, PUCT license number 10064.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria, which is hopping. And,
hey now.
Tasha's over there taking pictures. Do you think she's FaceTiming those pictures to her boyfriend?
Of course.
That may be the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I'm telling you, any woman that wants to do that, run. Just a little bit of advice. Run fast, run far. Or you're going to wind up, as somebody mentioned earlier, you're going to wind up with a rabbit being boiled in your kitchen. Either that or...
It's hard to picture it ending well is all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know what? I hope you don't have a fireplace because... They're going to find some ashes in there with your DNA on them.
Yeah.
Or that, or she's...
Or at least your stuff. She'll burn up your stuff.
I'm telling you, I think she's going to be wearing your skin at some point as a skin suit. It rubs the lotion on its skin. All right. You want to talk a little baseball here?
Well, yeah. I thought it was interesting what Dallas Keuchel had to say. And I don't think that the for someone to compare the Astros to the Cubs, you know, would be, I don't think that's absurd. To compare the 27 Astros to the 2016 Cubs, I think that's a fair.
2016 Cubs overcame a long drought, had a great regular season, were the best team, won the World Series.
Very similar stories.
Astros, long drought, won their first World Series.
Well,
one of the best teams in the league.
Dallas Keuchel said, no, man, that ain't us. We're not the Cubs. If you remember, the Cubs started out last season,
like 40-40, I think,
on the struggle bus.
Yeah,
they end up making the playoffs.
They won what, 92 games?
It ends up being a pretty good season.
Yeah,
but they lost in the NLCS, which I mean, there's no shame in losing in the NLCS. The Dodgers were also pretty good.
The Dodgers were a great team. There was no shame in losing that.
And it's hard.
If I'm the Astros, I'm more excited that I actually beat the freaking Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because that was a hell of a series.
It's hard to win back-to-back titles in any sport.
Well, and I think it's especially hard, and I think the Astros are going to see this. I think it's especially hard for a team like the Cubs where you finally get there. There's got to be a bounce. I mean, there's got to be.
And now there's massive expectation.
Right.
Which is what there was with the Cubs.
Right.
Both those teams had the MVP on their team. I think there's a lot of similarities. They both had multiple number one starters. felt really great about their pitching staff going into the season. I'm not saying that the Astros are doomed to a slow start, but I don't have a problem with a reporter comparing the two because I think they're pretty similar situations.
But, yeah, I mean, but his point, I guess, is...
Keuchel says, we've got better players than the Cubs do, which, I mean, that's debatable, but...
No, you did last year.
Last year you did, but 2016 Cubs were pretty good.
I think going into this year, on the surface, yeah, it kind of looks like you. I mean, on paper you have the better team, but you know there were teams on paper that looked better than you last year too. I mean, the season's going to play out. I think they're going to be very good. I can't envision too many scenarios where they're not dominating the division again.
Right,
but I could also see a lot of scenarios where the Cubs bounce back this year, and you know it is difficult to do it year in and year out. I think going into this season, the Astros, on paper, better than they were last year.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have Justin Verlander at the top of your rotation starting last year.
Yeah, you didn't have Garrett Cole.
No.
Yeah. I would say coming into this season, yes, yeah, better.
You should have Alex Bregman should be better this year. Because
Yuli Gurriel should be better.
Yeah, you know what those guys are. You didn't last year going in. You
but
weren't sure.
You can also, I mean, Josh Reddick had the best season of his life. Is he going to do that again?
I'm going to go with no, just like I don't think Marwin Gonzalez is going to be what he was.
George Springer?
No. I don't think there's any way he repeats what he did, especially his first half, which was through the roof.
But
I do think Carlos Correa is going to be better. I think Alex Bregman's going to be better.
Altuve can't be better.
No, I don't see any way.
I mean, but if he just keeps doing what he's doing, though, you're in pretty good shape.
Day in, day out, you have a better bullpen this year, I think, going in, at least on paper. And... You know, all that I think adds up to the fact that you've got, you know, you're one of the teams to beat. But I also think, well, I don't want to say that because I mean I think you're going to have the same teams from last year, and then I mean the Nationals are still going to be tough to get by. I think the Dodgers are still going to be tough to get by. But on the Astros side, I think the same group that they had to deal with last year.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees are better.
Yankees, Indians. It's going to be.
The Indians are still very good. The Red Sox. I don't know. They may be better. I still think the Astros are better on paper than those teams, but on paper doesn't mean jack bleep.
Championships aren't won on paper, is that what you're saying?
No, they're won on PlayStation.
That's right.
Generally. And if I had this team on PlayStation, I would feel pretty good about it.
But I
get what he's trying to say, and I don't know that it's so much a, oh, we're better than the Cubs thing. I think they're pretty confident in this group that they're bringing back. And I'm pretty sure the Cubs were that confident last year, too. But, yeah, I don't think it's an invalid comparison, but I don't really blame Dallas Keuchel for having confidence in what they're going to be trying out there.
I mean, that's fair. You should be confident. But, again, mind you, this happens to every team like this. Every great team, the next year is a whole brand-new battle.
Oh, yeah, and it wasn't easy for them to get there. And that's the thing, and I think the Cubs a lot early on especially, it's like, well, we're the world champs, we can just show up.
Right.
And then you start figuring out, okay, no, we had to work our asses off to get there, we got to do it again. And I don't think there was any shame at all losing to that Dodgers team. Dodgers team was loaded.
The thing about this, do you think remember the Patriots when they went 16-0 and ended up losing to the Giants in the Super Bowl? Do you think they saw that coming? Of course they didn't. They were the best team, and they just assumed that that was how it was going to play out. Do you think the Warriors saw when they won 73 regular season games or whatever it was, absurd? Did you think they thought they were going to lose to the Cavs in the playoffs? Suddenly they'd lose four games that they, you know, they'd lost barely twice that over the last 82. They're going to lose four out of seven now. They didn't think that. So, I mean, nobody thinks that they're going to have struggles. Everybody runs into struggles, though, and it's a matter of if you're playing well at the right time.
Although I don't know if you saw what Charlie Morton said, but he almost said the opposite. It's like you can see why there's distractions. Your off season is shorter for one thing. You're doing these parades and everything else, and the expectations are higher. And I do think that's something maybe you're not as ready when you come back. So we shall see. Guys, I got to tell you, it's funny that Michael from Pick Me is sitting right here, but they've got so many great things that they do for your event. So let's say you got a wedding coming up. I mean, you probably don't want to get married, but you're doing a wedding. or maybe you got a bar mitzvah coming up. You got a corporate outing, and you need, you know, you need photos. Well, he's got the Magic Mirror photo booth, and it's great for any event, whether it's a wedding, birthday. How about a big birthday party? Custom photo layouts for any theme, custom animations, unlimited photo prints at your event, social media sharing, and more. And he does a lot of events with us. He did our party a couple weeks ago. I got a great photo from that. You can get great photos from that are custom made to your event. Matter of fact, my daughter's been to a couple events, and she texts me and says, "Oh, guess who's here? And this is great. Look at the photos we got." And you can do that for your kids. You can do that for yourself. So your experience with Pick Me is going to be unlike any other, and they're running specials all month long. Contact them today to book your unique experience. Here's the number, 713-423-4190. That's 713-423-4190, or go to pickmeevents.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Republic Harley Davidson. I went in the other day and I test drove a Road King, and man, the new Road Kings are out of this world. I was never a fan. I didn't like the way they looked because I didn't like the fairing in the front, the big plastic piece. Well, guess what? Now they make them without it, and I was in love with this bike. It's an awesome ride. If there's a bike you've been thinking about getting on, test driving, go see the guys at Republic Harley-Davidson. I take my bike in to be serviced there. Even there's dealerships way closer to my house than the one in Stafford there, Republic. But I don't care because the guys at Republic, they're going to take care of my bike. They've got 7 master technicians on staff. Some of the other places in town, they've got hourly employees taking apart and putting back together your bikes. If you feel comfortable with that, cool. Not me. I want these master technicians. Right now, when you buy a new Harley at Republic, you get maintenance for life. How awesome is that? They've got a great staff. They're helpful. They're friendly. They're professional, and they're going to get you on the Harley of your dreams. First bike night of the year is coming up on Thursday, March 15th from 6 to 9. Republic Harley is going to host bike night every third Thursday of the month through October. Join the party for live music on an outdoor stage, food, door prizes, and they're giving away a Harley motorcycle, but you can only register to win at bike nights. The more events you come to, more chances you get to register. In October, one lucky winner is going to walk away with a brand new Harley. Whatever your need, service, new or pre-owned Harley, merchandise, riding classes, Republic Harley Davidson is the best in Houston. Financing for everyone, 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or check them out online at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley Davidson.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back, and we've talked too much, so let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Barry Laminek from The Usual Suspects. He's going to stay for 3 more hours. I'm leaving at 6, so he's going to do the last hour by himself. It'll be awesome. It'll be good times, good radio.
Open mic.
Open mic night. So, are you a beaver?
That was just hack. You're just a hack. You're just taking my jokes. You're so hack. I would expect nothing less from a colonizer.
Hey, how sad are you guys that you're going to have to work extra on Thursday?
I don't care about that.
I'm thankful that you're doing it.
That's kind of like driving to Austin.
Shut up. God, I hate you. I just hate you. You know, you win some, you lose some. I lost the friend lottery. Can we just... You're the worst friend ever.
Yeah, God.
No.
I don't take it as like an official nickname.
So you're like me then?
But nope. I was thinking during the break, Bama Lamb.
Nope.
Like the Black Betty song, Bama Lamb.
Nope. Don't need to do it.
Ram Jam, Bama Lamb, Ram a Lamb. Ram a Lamb, a ding dong.
Oh, my God. I'll be glad when this show's over.
Oh.
Ram-a-lamma ding dong is not my nickname.
That's your new nickname.
That's for heels.
I think we should make a whole thing of it. I think I should go to Man Centers and, like, post a video of... Well, I don't know if I post a video of the consultation and everything, but I think we should make a thing of it. Who's the doctor over there?
Dr. Chop. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's too much for me.
Yeah, this is Alicia Cara.
Oh, I've heard this song.
Yeah, I've heard this too.
You let your kids go to this?
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Oh. Does she have a boyfriend yet?
No.
You're an absent father. No. Are you sure
yes,
about this?
Yes, but I accidentally see her text messages.
How do you know she doesn't text somebody and then delete those texts?
Because I have a good trust and belief in her. She's a good person there, AJ.
No.
You could also request those texts through your provider.
She's not on birth control.
Jeez. This Bumpy's been playing a long time.
Elio Perlman is spending the days with his family at their 17th century villa in Lombardy, Italy. He soon meets Oliver. Amid the sun-drenched splendor of their surroundings, Elio and Oliver discover the heady beauty of awakening desire over the course of a summer that will alter their lives forever. So it's gay statutory rape in Italy. Best picture nominee.
So a Kevin Spacey biopic?
On that note, we should probably go to break.
Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Oh, that was pretty good, John. All right, we want to thank the Hyatt Regency for having us out here once again, and really appreciate it. Looking forward to getting back. Great food out here. Terrific service, as always. Ray Ray made it out here, by the way.
My man.
And also, if you get a chance, check out Sports Map. Great videos from Robin Carlin on there, Holly, lots of other great stuff. That's going to wrap it up. Boy, this was a brutal week for me, man, a whole day. Wow. We'll be back on Monday. Great job, AJ. Great job, Voldemort. I want to thank Moochie Norris. I want to thank RJ Bell. And a great job by Jong Lee, as always. I was all right today. That's why I think I should be working one day a week. I think I'm at my best. I think one day a week is
it's strong for you.
Yeah.
It's your sweet spot.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. All right. We'll see you guys on Monday. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.